Support comes from Mosby Building Arts. This year, put your trust in Mosby Building Arts for fresh designs and the elevated remodeling experience you deserve. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. When undergraduates return to St. Louis University next Monday to start the spring term, there will be one student among them with deep and painful connections to the institution's history, namely ancestors who were enslaved in the 1800s by St. Louis University Jesuit Catholics. That student is St. Louisan Robin Prouty. She's also the founder and executive director of Descendants of St. Louis University Enslaved, a nonprofit organization created to ensure that the school takes concrete steps to repair harms caused by enslavement, harms that impacted the people held in bondage, descendants like herself and the St. Louis University community as a whole. And Robin Prouty joins us now to talk about that work. Robin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm super excited at the top of the year.
So Robin, the last time we spoke with you was a couple years ago, and was November of 2023. And there's, you know, a good bit to catch up about, but we won't, unfortunately, get to all of it. What I do want to start with is what we talked about in the introduction, and that is that you were a SLU undergrad since last August. How did that come about?
Well, first of all, it's twofold. First, you know, when I was in the Navy, I was going to SIU Carbondale, SIU University at Carbondale. But because the war broke out and I had to support that effort, I never got a chance to finish my degree. And so it has been a lifelong goal to finally get that degree. And I may even go further, who knows. Mm-hmm. But so that's how that came about. And so I was talking to one of the professors there, Dr. Tinston, about what I wanted to do. And he was like, you know what? I got something for you. You should try the School for Professional Studies. That's for adults who want to come back and go to school. And I looked up the Bachelor's of Arts in Leadership in Organizational Behavior, and it was perfect for what the work I'm doing with the SLU.
Why did you decide to go to SLU, especially given, you know, the history that your ancestors have with that institution? Did you have any reservations about it?
Not at all. Actually, I wanted to go to St. Louis University because my ancestors who were there, who were during the time when those who were getting an education, they were enslaved, they were forced to labor there. They were not offered not only their freedom, but an education. So it's symbolic to me because I'm going to walk across that stage in 2027 with a degree that they were not offered, they were not afforded to get. And so, yes, I wanted to go to St. Louis University.
Mm-hmm. How does it feel to be on that campus?
Well, of course, I've been walking around that campus forever, you know, for the last 5 years. And every time I walk on that campus, because it's hallowed ground, I do feel the presence of my ancestors. I've said it many times. And my courses are online. But the classes that I'm taking and just different things, it really does. It's like what Du Bois talked about when he said a double consciousness, right? It's really difficult, but it is rewarding at the same time. Mm-hmm. I'm on a mission.
Yeah, yeah. Is there a specific spot, you know, a building or a landmark that you see on campus that, you know, causes you maybe to hold your breath, maybe to pause and reflect a little bit?
Well, when they first arrived in 1823, of course, they went to the first Jesuit mission in Florissant. And then they were trafficked between SLU and St. Francis Xavier College Church. And so St. Francis Xavier College Church, the big sprawling church that it is today, has a lot, you can say my ancestors actually worked, Matilda Tyler worked for from 1847 to 1859 to buy her and her son's freedom. That monies was saved and appropriated to build the new St. Francis Xavier College Church. The old building is where my great-grandmother, three times removed, Henrietta Mills and Charles F. Chavon, my great-grandparents, were married in St. Francis Xavier College Church. Mm-hmm. So being that they were enslaved there, when I look at that building and just the whole campus, I'm going to be honest with you, the hair raises off my skin. It's deep.
Mm-hmm. How have you come to learn so much about your ancestors?
In 2019, my family and I was living in Maryland area, my family, local family. We received letters from the Slavery History Memory and Reconciliation Project, which is a joint project between, it was St. Louis University and the Jesuits. They came together to study their ties to slavery in 2016 to 2019, and then they began to look for descendants, and that's where we came in. I've always been fascinated, and I was already on a genealogical website looking for my ancestors. So when they contacted me, I was fascinated. So I just learned everything I could. They allowed me to look at the archives of the historians at the time. They provided us with information, and I just kept going and just became a subject matter expert in all things the Jesuits, St. Louis University, and my ancestors, of course.
Mm-hmm. We actually had a call from someone else who is very interested in this subject matter. It was Tom from Salem, Missouri. And he was wondering whether you know, or he was actually wondering about the extent to which Jesuits either sold or freed enslaved people, even as popes, you know, of the past condemned slavery. Is that something that you know about?
Well, if you look on my website, www.theslu.org, I have an interactive map that shows the Jesuits' history in enslavement and the people from its origins in 1540. They enslaved my families for over 300 years. We came from Maryland. We helped to build Georgetown University all the way from they had five plantations there, all the way to Kentucky, to Alabama, many other places. So they trafficked people for years up until 1865.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned DSLU, which is DSLUE. And as you've mentioned, you were living in Maryland several years ago when you learned about this connection with ancestors and those who were enslaved by St. Louis University Jesuits. And you founded Descendants of St. Louis University Enslaved. What is this organization, which I want to put a fine point on, it's being a community nonprofit rather than being a campus-based organization? What was it created to do, and what gains have been made so far?
Thank you. Great question. So after we found out this information, my family and I, we began to have monthly meetings and to discuss what did we want to do with this information. And we decided that especially the climate, which is even more today, just about the history, we decided that first we wanted to commemorate and honor our ancestors. So we came together and we decided to form the Descendants of the St. Louis University Enslaved as a preservation and cultural education organization. And then in 2023, we became a descendant-led 501c3 nonprofit. And we are rooted in three pillars. That's remembrance, restoration, and reparative justice or reparations.
Note, in the spring, there was a scheduled event that was meant to include a prayer service, public apology, but that was postponed. What are the needs to know about what happened then, Robin, and where do things around that stand now?
Okay. The SLU family members, we've been working, engaging with St. Louis University since 2019. We worked hard, and finally, when our legal counsel, Ariva Martin, came on board, we held a teach-in in 2024, which went viral, and then at that point, we met with the leadership again at St. Louis University, and former President Postello assigned two liaisons to work with us. So all that year in 2024, we worked and we gave them our 10-point plan. We came together in meetings all throughout the summer. And we talked about what it was we were going to do to move forward. We agreed upon the first three points that was important to us, a formal apology, a monument, and cash payments. Now, each of those we were going to discuss in detail. So when they came and gave us a date for the formal apology, we were super excited. We worked together, and then the date was scheduled for March 26, 2025. And to get to the point, everything went well all the way up until a week before the event. And at the last minute, the SLU liaisons, and I guess whoever was working behind the scenes, they changed a few things that we did not agree with. We couldn't, as a family, move forward in good faith. At that time, we expressed to the university that we did not agree, and they omitted some things from us that was going to be a part of the program and did not tell us until the last minute.
And what were those omissions?
The omissions were they allowed a organization who we had told them for 3 years that we did not agree with the organization as they were at the time, and they decided to allow them to be a part of the program. And although I was on the working group, I knew everything about the program except their being involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt, and my family did not want to, we didn't want a photo op with them. We are a part of a community of descendants, Jesuit enslaved descendants across the country. We meet with them, and they were all looking forward and excited about this apology for us. So, and they also know that we're all aligned in what we feel what repair is. So to have this organization in our program without our knowing it, and all the other descendants looking like, we couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. So, Robin, as the founder and executive director of Descendants of St. Louis University Enslaved, was your decision to become a SLU student also motivated by wanting to see change happen more quickly?
Most definitely, yes. I was accepted to other universities, but like I said, this is important, and I have applied to be a senator for the SGA. You know, I had a great relationship with the SGA in 2024. They voted unanimously to send a resolution to the president standing in solidarity with us. That's the General Assembly, 51st General Assembly. They were amazing. And so I applied to be a senator of two different committees, but for some reason, I was told no.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's fine. So I applied for about a month and a half, 2 months ago, for a chartered student organization, which will be the first in the history of the university. And it's called the St. Louis University Enslaved Education and Commemoration Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be the first organization, student-led organization, dedicated to honoring those ancestors who helped to build the university. And so I'm waiting on them to approve that application. I'm sure I met the requirements requirements. It's been a minute, but, you know, everybody's been in school and finals and stuff. So I'm looking for them to do that shortly, and we're going to get to work.
Yeah. And connected to that, I mean, some months before you started at SLU as a student back in August, you spoke at the United Nations during the fourth session of the Permanent Forum on People of African Descent. And you spoke not only as a descendant of enslaved people whose forced labor built, you know, SLU, and you mentioned earlier Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. What did you address then about universities' ties to enslavement and their role in addressing, you know, the lasting impacts of those harms and the reparative part in particular?
Right. That was an amazing experience to bring not only my ancestors, but this issue to the global stage of universities' ties to slavery. St. Louis University and the Jesuit universities are not the only universities that have ties to slavery. And so what I talked about is not only how they enslaved our ancestors, but even afterwards, how it impacted our communities. Just like in the St. Louis community, what are these universities giving back? They don't pay taxes. They're tax exempt. How are they supporting these descendant communities? Professor Devarian Baldwin's book, In the Shadow of the Ivory Tower, How Universities Plunder Our Cities, he talks about that. And once I read that book, it really helped me to understand that this is the right way to go, because these universities not only were built by our ancestors, they have thrived throughout the years off of being able to build from that seed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so what are they giving back to the community?
Mm-hmm. The reparations that DSLU is seeking, then, what are they?
Well, I can tell you a few of them because we don't have enough time. Well, it's 10 points, but, you know.
The top one,
the
I think.
Okay,
yeah.
So like I said, now we did get the apology document of what the president was going to say during that March apology. And the Board of Trustees, according to the documents that we got, they did approve of a monument. So we're looking forward to the new president, President Fazer, who I met, and he said that our project is going to come out of the president's office. So we're hopeful that we're going to move forward. But we, I did send a letter when I enrolled in SLU, asked to get a scholarship or some type of waiver, but President Postello at that time said no, because we were supposed to come together during this semester to talk. He couldn't approve one, but we was going to talk. We talk about.
Unfortunately, we do. It'd be great to hear more about this in the future. But I think what we've started with is a great way to set things up for next time.
Yes.
Robin Prouty is the founder and executive director of Descendants of St. Louis University Enslaved and a current student at St. Louis University. Robin, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Elaine Shaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see Time is of the essence.
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.